I'll come right in. Rock flag and eagle.
All right, welcome everybody back to another edition of Chairgating, and this week we are talking NASCAR, even though it's not even the season anymore. That just gives us more reason to talk about it. And this week I have a special guest from YouTube. Say what's up.
Hey everybody, it's Eric Estep. I make YouTube videos about NASCAR, even when it's the off season.
So even, that's what I, even when?
Yeah. In fact, honestly, it feels like I make more videos when it's the off season. But yeah, I'm the host of a show called Out of the Groove. So I'm excited to be here. Excited to talk racing.
Yeah, great YouTube channel. I definitely recommend everybody check it out. We both live in Austin, so if the sound quality is actually better this week, it's because I'm not over Skype.
Yeah,
for once.
This is the first podcast I've done in person. You know, I've done them over Skype, and yeah, you're right. The quality just can't be matched.
Well, and it's just especially for people our age, right? Podcasters, YouTubers that are actually into NASCAR, I feel it's few and far between. It's hard to find.
Yeah, that's true.
So the odds of another one living in Austin was actually pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. I saw you were wearing an Astros jersey in one of your videos, so I was like, oh, hell yeah. I get along with this guy right off the bat. So we're going to talk about a few different things this episode. It's off season, so we can talk about the fun shit. We want to start out, as everybody I'm sure already knows, I wrote an article on Belly Up Sports, the top 10 worst NASCAR paint schemes of 2018, and Eric over here also made a YouTube video about it.
Oh yeah.
And we had a lot of similar paint schemes, which I'm sure every NASCAR fan had the exact same similar paint schemes. So we wanted to start this episode talking about the horrendous paint schemes of 2018.
Yeah, what starting out on a bad note.
Yeah. Where do you want to start?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I liked on your list, the one that you had that I should have put on my list, now that I look at it again, is the Ryan Blaney. The neon yellow is fine, but he had that one with the green hood.
Yeah, Lib
just,
Man?
Yeah, it was literally just, it was like neon yellow everywhere and then just like green.
Yeah.
And I don't know, yellow and green don't really mix unless you're the Oregon Ducks, but like neon yellow
right.
and green.
And the biggest problem is, it's not like they were blended together in any way. Usually in NASCAR paint schemes, you have two different colors, you make it work by blending it, you know, doing something. Yeah. No, it's a just bright green hood that doesn't match the rest of the car, as if they just took the hood off another car,
yeah.
and they're like, this is good enough, no one's going to notice, let's cash out those ad checks from Lin Man.
Pretty much, yeah. I know we both agreed on arguably the worst paint scheme was that Timmy Hill, I forget the sponsor off the top of my head, but that was that black and purple, black, pink, and green car.
Rewards.com.
Oh, goodness.
Big shout out.
Yeah, big. Hope you got your ad money worth. I mean, we are still talking about them and showing it off.
We are.
After the season's even over. So this
Here's the thing. It's not actually a terrible idea. No. If I was going to put ad money into NASCAR with the, you know, economic state NASCAR has been in, why not try to make the most ugly car possible? Because people will continue to talk about it.
It's why, like, shock humor is so popular. You just say something really shocking, and people will talk about it.
Yeah, make a joke about 9/11. Even if it's in bad taste, they'll talk about it forever.
No publicity is bad publicity.
That's
how the saying goes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the rewards.com paint scheme is terrible. It's a black base car, which is, you know, always fine. And then they got that lime green. Okay, you know, I really like, I don't know how you feel about Kurt Busch's, like, new monster car.
Monster car.
I really like it.
Yeah, I like it.
It's very subtle, but it's got that bright monster green. So I like black and green. I actually think it's a great look. But then the rewards.com car, they're like, let's throw some hot pink in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's kind of weird. Wait, we're not done yet. We're also going to throw blue in there.
But they're all like kind of faded too. Like it looks like something out of the 90s.
It's not glossy either, but it's not matte either.
No, it's somewhere in between.
And it's on the number 66 car.
Uh-huh.
It's just like you can't make this stuff up. It's by far the worst. I understand that that's the colors for whatever reason for that company, which, you know, that's probably
that's
a bad
discussion
start.
That should be having
right.
closed doors.
So, I guess to be fair, the Timmy Hill car, was it MBM Motorsports, probably did the best they could with what they had to work with. They were like, fuck it, let's just make put black where we can. If they're giving us this paint scheme.
I thought the same thing about the Danica Patrick one that she ran at Daytona, which is the reason I didn't like it. Is it's like they made it all green with no design, like hardly at all. But then like the back of the car is black. And in my head, I just figured it meant it's a cheap, you know, it's a small team. They didn't have enough money to paint the entire wrap.
Yeah.
The printer ran out of ink midway through, and they just said, let's make the rear end black.
No, because that's how it looks. It's not like a cool design where it's like a two-tone, front of the car is green, back is black. No, it's literally like, what would you say, like the back, not even quarter.
It's an odd, like the back fifth of the car. Yeah. Like over the wheel, even.
It's terrible. It's like halfway over the wheel, kind of. It is so ugly, and it just says GoDaddy on the hood in plain black font with just a big fat white 7. It honestly looks like a derby car or something.
Yeah.
Like, it really does. And, I mean, it's Danica Patrick, so, you know.
Well, that's what makes it so frustrating, is they had one race. This was like their big reunion thing. Danica Patrick and GoDaddy were back for one final race, the Daytona 500, and then they put minimal effort
in this paint scheme. I feel like, to be fair, though, her team probably had learned their lesson by this point and said, we know she's going to wreck the car. Let's not put much money into making the car look cool. Let's just put as much ad for GoDaddy as we can on it and run it, because she's going to get in a wreck, which she inevitably did.
Yeah, probably true.
One that you did not include, which you don't hate, was the Matt Benedetto car, the 32.
Oh, the pink one, yeah.
The Plan B sales.com. The reason, I understand what you're saying. It's not the ugliest car. The design is fine. But, okay, number one, like, who's your target audience for this? This is a NASCAR, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to sell Plan B with a pink car. The only thing I can think of is Eric Cartman when he becomes a NASCAR driver. What was that?
Yeah.
What was the ad that he had for
that? I'm not
sure.
Why did they make it pink? That's the big question. Was this like, was it part of, I mean, what did they run it on October?
I looked it up and I couldn't find out if it was for some charity. Because I was like, I'm not going to include it if it's for breast care awareness or something. Yeah. You know, I'm like, okay, I can't include that. That'd be rude of me.
Yeah.
That would be my 9/11 joke, I guess, in a sense. But I couldn't find anything. So I was like,
I don't know. Either way, I don't know. I've seen pink cars before in NASCAR, and I like some of them. I don't like others. So it's inconsistent. That's why this one I'm very lukewarm on pink race cars.
That's fair.
I'm biased too, because one of my favorite finishes of all time was Talladega in 2012 when Matt Kenseth won the race in a pink car.
Yeah.
And I've watched that highlight so many times, and now I think pink and race cars just are now like synonymous.
You're
with
the
good.
Only one that thinks of pink with NASCAR.
Yeah.
So,
apparently. I don't know. It's not perfect. I can give you that.
I just, as a person that works in marketing, I just look at this car and I try to think, what was their target audience? What was their idea here? For PlanBSales.com, I would love to hear the pitch in the room where he was like, okay, we know what our target audience is for PlanBSales.com. It is sexually active women, right? Pretty obvious. That's what your target audience is there. You know what sport we think is going to be growing with that audience? The dying sport of NASCAR. We think a lot of young, sexually active women. And they like pink, so here you go, NASCAR fans.
There you go. That something. oh my goodness, I forgot about the Chris Buescher throwback car
one
for
of,
a second there.
One of the worst.
Yeah.
It's tough because it could be the worst.
Yeah.
But it's too boring to even be the worst.
Yeah, the plain white with the plain white's fine. Like, there could be just a plain white car that looks kind of cool. It doesn't really matter. But the logo, I get that it was a throwback logo to the old way
Bush
looked.
I don't know why.
But, yeah, exactly. I don't know why.
I get it's Darlington, and they're trying to, like, do the throwback thing, but you don't have a throwback design. Why are you pretending that you do?
It looks like they just took a piece of paper, like, scribbled on it with a ballpoint pen, and then wrapped it around a race car. Because, like, the lettering's just kind of blocky. Not even blocky, it's just, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's very straight. I don't know.
It's thin. It's way too thin to be blocky. And on top of that, there's a reason that Bush's Beans hasn't used this can design in over 110 years.
Yeah.
It's because it's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an awful design. And to make matters worse, you're running this car against the coolest paint schemes of 2018 at Darlington.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every other car on there looks cool.
And you were at this race in person.
Right? I was.
So what did it look like seeing this?
I can't remember because it was that boring. I don't even remember seeing the car. Like, I feel like I glanced at it and I was like, oh, I don't remember that throwback paint scheme. Anyway, let's move on to Jeff Gordon's over here.
Yeah.
You know, or Rusty Wallace's over there. Like, yeah. I was just in awe at these amazing schemes.
I do not blame you.
Yeah, that one was just very forgettable. One that we also disagreed on was Ricky Stenhouse Jr.'s car, the little hug fruit barrels.
Oh yeah, the yellow and purple.
I cannot get on board. I will admit that seeing those little fruit barrels brought me back to a nostalgic time, which I guess is a good idea for NASCAR fans because that's what you want to remind them of. But the yellow and the purple, I can't get on board with.
See, I like yellow and purple cars, but I do prefer it when it's more purple than yellow. Like, if the base was purple with little yellow highlights and stuff here and there, I'd be all for it. I'd love it. Some of my favorite cars are purple and yellow. But
I might be able to agree with that.
I can agree with you, the yellow being so prevalent with the purple. I don't know. I didn't hate it, because the main difference between this one and that Timmy Hill one,
right?
The Timmy Hill, all the purple and blue or pink, whatever it was kind of faded looking. This one, it's all kind of like, it's bold. Like, it looks, it's purple, blue, green. It's not like, kind of like, ooh, blah, green. I don't know, like vomit green, Shrek green. I don't know what the right word is.
Right.
You know, so I give it that. It's not perfect, but I like most of Ricky Stenhouse's paint schemes. Even like his just plain blue fast and all. His he has that fifth third bank car. It's like a couple different shades of blue with some yellow.
Yeah, he actually had some decent cars. Oh. I think I wrote that in the article.
Have you seen his Sunny D car for next year? I don't know. They just announced
it. For next year?
For next year. I will look it up.
Did you like the Sunny D car of 2018?
I liked it. It's a little much.
It was too much for me.
It's a little much, but I don't hate it. I'm going to look
this up. I didn't include it in my list, so obviously it wasn't one of my least favorite cars. I just could not get on board with the design. It was too much for me.
Have you seen Ricky Stenhouse Jr.'s 2019...
Let me see.
A Sunny D car? Here, hold on. I'll pull it up for you.
You got the photo?
Because look at that. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And look at the front.
Oh, okay, actually, that is a really cool car. Everybody go look that up, and that's on that new Mustang that they're using, right?
Yeah.
I love that they're going to the Mustang instead of the Ford Fusion. But, well, they're taking away... Ford's not making Fusion anymore, I guess that's probably why.
Yeah, Ford's, like, rebranded themselves to just trucks and Mustangs, so I guess that's what they're doing to NASCAR now.
I mean, not a terrible idea.
I feel like I see a lot of Ford Fusions on the road.
Same!
So, like,
they have to be one of the biggest, most popular cars.
Like, Chevy stopped running the SS in NASCAR, and they changed it to the Camaro, and that made sense, because have you ever seen just one of those Chevys on the road? Like, I've seen, like, maybe five of those ever.
Do they still make those?
They're probably not.
I don't think they do.
But, like, well, that's I never saw them for several years. I never saw them, so when they switched to the Camaro, I'm like, okay,
perfect.
I didn't even know the other car existed.
And I was on board with that also.
Yeah, the Mustangs do look cool.
Mustangs look very cool. And I'm a Chevy fan myself, but seeing those Mustangs, I'm like, damn, those are cool.
See, that's the thing. Toyota's going to have to step their game up because I know the Camrys seem to run really well. They win a lot. But, you know, you got the Camaro, which is in the Mustang, both kind of muscly-looking cars.
You drive a Camaro.
I drive a Camry.
Camry, sorry.
I wish I drove a Camaro. Well, yeah, I get
it. So you should be on board with them keeping it.
But it's like, my little Camry is like a little four-cylinder car.
And that's what they have to represent?
Exactly. It's now racing against these
it is stock car, cars. Right? This is stock car.
they are bringing the Toyota Supra to, I think it's the Xfinity Series next year.
Which no way.
Looks weird as hell on the car. I don't know if you can pull up.
Wait, I have seen a photo of that. I thought that was a joke.
No.
Oh my God. I thought that was a joke. Yeah, I saw it and just glanced over and I was like, oh, funny joke, guys. And just kept scrolling.
No, they're showing that in the Xfinity Series. Maybe it'll make it to Cup at some point, but.
Interesting.
It's something.
Okay. I'm interested in that. I drive a Subaru. I don't think they're going to ever be getting the Impreza out there.
Probably not, no.
It's cool. I can't afford one of these quote-unquote stock cars. You know what actually would be a great idea, not to get too far off topic? If I had the money to put this together, like a brand new car for Toyota Camry, the Ford Mustang, and the Chevy Camaro, and race them actually stock.
Oh, like just straight up, like buy them straight off the lot.
Just get three guys and drive the cars.
I'd have to look at a spec sheet, but I don't think the Camry would be able
to compete. I don't think it would.
On a
but it would be
basis.
A cool little like
it would be
a thing just to be like, by the way, if this was a real stock car race,
like Mythbusters,
like here's who would have won.
Like how Mythbusters test this type of stuff. Like, you know, like Martin Truex Jr. in a Toyota won the NASCAR championship. Are Toyota Camrys actually faster than Chevy Camaros or something like that?
Yeah. that's not a bad idea. Just do like the same driver, time trials, to make it fair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, boom. Make it fair.
I wish I had some money to put into this. Oh, I think that's not a bad idea.
Can we just go test drive a bunch of cars and just bring them right back?
Yeah, exactly. I'll
can we borrow all these for 30 minutes? We'll be back in a few minutes. We just gotta drive them to.
We come back in 8 hours. Thanks, guys. How much miles did you put on this?
I hear people who buy a bunch of 4 TVs from Best Buy only to return them the next day because they just want to have some crazy I've heard people do LAN parties for gaming where they'll just buy 4 big screen TVs, bring them all to their house, set them up with PlayStations, and they'll just bring it back. I've heard literally this from 2 different people before they did
this. I would
be
so concerned that I would break.
I mean, yeah, obviously there's a risk involved.
Can you imagine?
But I can't imagine being the worker at Best Buy that sees the same guy walk in one day, leave with TVs.
And there's nothing you can do. It's Best Buy. It's not like a family mom and pop shop where they're like, look, guy, no.
Yeah,
no more.
There's no guilt, really.
No, it's Best Buy. It's like, Best Buy. Your voice means nothing at that store. It's all about that customer.
Yeah.
I guess one you didn't include, which I just thought was horrendous, was the Buescher, the Scott Comfort Plus paint scheme. I guess going back to my whole point with the Plan B pink car, this one was pink, light blue, and orange with what is that, little floral pattern?
Yeah.
Yeah, floral pattern. I mean, that one is
The floral pattern saves it for me.
Does it?
Yeah, I like the
does it
pattern.
I can't. No, I can't.
It knows what it knows what it's being. I think to an extent.
If this was took out the pink and put in a different color and was sponsored by Tommy Bahama instead, I would be on board with you. I would agree. Yeah. The floral at that point works.
I can agree. The pink doesn't mix.
Why does it have a floral pattern? Toilet paper. What is
they always try to, it's supposed to smell nice. Maybe it's scented toilet paper.
Yeah, maybe the car's scented. It's a scratch and sniff.
Oh my gosh.
One I know you didn't include that I hated was the caddies.com paint scheme. Did you see this one?
I might have missed that one. That one's pretty boring.
It's bad, right?
It's just rough. What is that supposed to be? A beach or something?
It's a beach. So I did some research.
Oh,
another
yeah.
shout out to caddies.com.
Oh, yeah. This is Ross Chastain, right? Yeah.
Yep. Okay. He ran it at Talladega or at Daytona.
At least they had a sponsor on the car.
That's true.
Can't hate on too bad for that.
But at least he got one.
Maybe they should.
But it's Daytona. Yeah, Daytona. I could get a sponsor for Daytona if I took your Camry.
Yeah, someone had to put something on that logo.
It's a Camry. Yeah. It can run. It's a stock car. I did some research. Caddies is a bar and grill throughout Florida. So, I mean, I get it's probably a good sponsor for that company or that restaurant. But it's I get the paint scheme, right? It's beach themed because it's Florida. But it's just that's not even a picture of Florida. I swear that's the Bahamas.
Yeah, I don't know. Where in Florida is that? I've not seen
Yeah.
Pretty blue beaches like that. Last time I was in Florida, they had algae growing in the water. It's unsafe to go in. I was in Tampa. This is only a few months ago. I was in Tampa and they literally had signs up, don't go in the water. It can hurt you. I was this used to be, I went down to Sarasota.
I was going
to
say, you're sure you weren't outside Houston and Galveston?
Yeah, honestly that's what I was used
that
to.
That sounds
I've seen signs in Galveston.
Right.
Don't go
that's
in the
normal
water.
There.
But just in nice, Sarasota, Tampa, that's nice beaches. Sarasota brands itself as a nice, anyway, this is off topic.
No, I like it. I mean,
I agree with you. This is an ugly car.
The prettiest beach in Florida I've ever been to, way off topic, I know, but Destin.
Oh, Destin's pretty, yeah.
I love Destin and what they call Lower Alabama. Are you aware of this? They call the Panhandle Lower Alabama?
No, but that's where Mobile is,
LA.
Right?
Well, they call...
I don't know if I've been all
the Panhandle of Florida. Destin, Pensacola, PCB, that whole Panhandle area, they call Lower Alabama because people actually talk with accents there.
Yeah.
And the rest of Florida doesn't. So that Panhandle area is actually Southern.
Yeah.
So they call it LA or Lower Alabama.
I like it.
I love that area. It's trashy as hell and it's great. I hate Kevin Harvick, my least favorite driver by far. He is a douchebag. He's the worst person.
Wow, really changing the subject hard right there.
No. This is a transition. His Busch Beer flannel.
What's funny is if people who are listening to this, they're not going to see that you just scrolled to a photo of Kevin Harvick's ugly paint scheme, and they're just going to think you out of nowhere decided to interject.
By the way, I hate him. I know we're talking Harvick. About beaches in Florida, but you know what? You know what I hate the most? The flannel paint scheme to me was terrible.
I didn't hate it. This was actually on all the ones you put on this list. I'm like, yeah, a lot of these really weren't that good. This is the one I actually do like, the maroon and like
navy. You know what's funny is everybody disagreed with me on this one.
Yeah.
So like the other ones, people have been like, yeah, I get that.
And I think like it's just because you haven't seen it on a car before. It fits their brand. You know, they always have that guy in the Bush commercial.
So that's the flannel thing. Shirt. So I mentioned that too. I was like, for Bush, I get it. I like the flannel thing for Bush beer. And so I'm not hating on their branding on. I just don't think it looks good on a NASCAR.
I don't think it looks great, and I don't think we'll see it very often. I don't think it's going to become like an annual thing. Like we see like with Kyle Busch, he always runs a Halloween M&M's car because they always look cool. I don't think we're going to see an annual flannel Busch car.
But at least it looks cool, like you said.
Yeah.
That's the point. I can get on board because it looks cool.
Yeah.
But I did include him on my favorite paint schemes.
Which of those did you like?
For Kevin Harvick, I included the outdoor one, the Busch Beer Outdoor.
Is that the orange one that they did?
Yeah.
Okay, that is nice.
That's I love that paint scheme, and that is still on brand for them.
That is, that's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I get what you're saying. I just think you also have to make it look good on the car.
It's not perfect. I'd give it like a 6 out of 10, like slightly better than average. Like I'm like, okay. I like it, okay. But not all the time.
You don't love it. Got it. Let me see. Right here, I put it at my number four. The car number four.
Yeah,
that is a nice. That's one. A cool paint scheme. Mm-hmm. See, it works. The colors are good. Mm-hmm. It flows. I don't think you included this one on your list.
Oh, I don't even know if I remember seeing that one. Oh my goodness, Austin Dillon.
Amazing, right?
Jeez,
the Realtree Fishing Edge camo. I love it. You got everything for a NASCAR. You got your little camo.
Oh yeah.
Like every NASCAR needs. You got your little monster lime green accents. Yeah. And then out of nowhere, you have fishing camo all over the front part.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And it's a PFG.
Yeah, that should have made
it. How much more NASCAR can you get? Oh, you want more NASCAR? Realtree camo
right
there. How
about just the number three on the side?
Yeah. I mean, that is the ultimate NASCAR, in my opinion.
I know the last couple of days, NBC on or NASCAR on NBC on Twitter has been talking about like their favorite paint schemes. Mm-hmm. And I know we were talking that they had a comparison of, this is when the Kyle, they're comparing people's paint schemes, having people vote on which ones are better.
Yeah,
they put Jimmy Johnson's Homestead throwback up against Kyle Larson's patriotic car, and I feel like this is just unfair.
No, it's so unfair.
Unfair to include a throwback paint scheme as your favorite paint scheme of 2018.
Yeah,
it wasn't a 2018 paint scheme. It was from whatever, like 2002.
That's true.
You know,
and I feel like it's kind of unfair to just do throwbacks in general when you're listing. I know on your YouTube channel for your videos.
See, I didn't include.
And neither did I, because I think that was fair that you have to do originals or just at least not a throwback, one that is like notoriously loved by everybody. Yeah. You know, if you're going to do a throwback, put one up that nobody remembers. Mm. How about that? That's fair. And the Kyle Larson Patriot car, too, wasn't even anything special.
It's okay.
It's okay at best. You know, it's not anything special. Mm-mm. So that was just rude.
That was just very mean.
Yeah, because it got pretty heated with the Austin Dillon competition.
Oh, yeah. They pit Austin Dillon's throwback against
DiBenedetto. And the fact that his car was beating Austin Dillon's car,
this actually goes against what I was just saying. Like Austin Dillon here is running a Dale Earnhardt throwback. All the nostalgia, all the legacy.
In my opinion, probably the coolest one. Have you heard a story about that car?
He ran that in the All-Star race, right?
Yeah, but have you, do you know why?
I don't know.
They didn't even, put paint on it or anything. Like, that was, it was, a bare car.
Wow.
And it was, silver, and they, I guess it was too late or something like that.
So they just slapped
it. So they just put stuff on top of the silver. And Dale apparently loved it. He was like, I like it silver. Keep it silver.
That's pretty cool.
And, yeah, there's, a whole story behind it, and it's an amazing car. I love it. Mm-hmm. It was... I mean, I'm biased, obviously, as I wear an Austin Dillon shirt. it was probably my favorite when I was at Darlington, to be fair. But, you know, Jeff Gordon's was awesome. I also love Rusty Wallace's throwback.
Oh, yeah. There are so many good ones this year. We could go on and on.
We could do a whole podcast about Darlington's throwback cars. Mm-hmm. But I guess from here, we'll take a quick break. And we'll come back and talk about more random shit for off-season, silly season stuff.
Oh, yeah. Some real news. Hard-hitting news.
You hear that?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back. Do you play fantasy sports? Of course you do. With roughly $7 billion being earned this year in fantasy football, why not earn some easy money in the most lucrative online gambling? I highly recommend using Pro Football Focus. This site breaks down every stat at every position for every single player in the game. With a PFF Edge subscription at only $9.99 a month, or $39.99 a year, it gives you the edge to make the easiest money possible. And you can finally enjoy just watching football rather than always stressing about your lineup. Go to chairgetting.com right now, subscribe by hitting the green link, and you can think of it as an investment because you will make so much more money back. PFF Edge, try it today. If you live in Texas like me, beach season never really ends. And if you got some extra LBs to lose, also like me, but not seeing all the results you want to see when you're hitting the gym, you gotta try the best new pre-workout, Zeus Juice. This company is blowing up right now, but all their prices are still crazy low. They got all the flavors you'd want, like Fruit Punch, Orange Burst, Blue Raz, Watermelon. But you gotta get it while it's hot before everybody else hops on this trend. And if those prices aren't low enough for you, I got good news. Just go to ZeusJuiceOnline.com right now, type in coupon code BELLYUP10OFF. Don't miss this great opportunity to get the best new workout product on the market today. All right, welcome back. Hope everybody enjoyed those ads and have already bought things from those ads so I make money. And we got some breaking news from our YouTube star. Why don't you say what the breaking news is?
Yeah. Y'all know me. I always like to talk about news. When are we uploading this? Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday,
when you're listening to this probably, Jamie McMurray is going to be part of the Fox broadcast team next year. We already knew he was out of a ride because of Kurt Busch taking over that car.
Right.
But now he's accepted a deal with Fox to be part of, I think it's just their pre-race. He's not going to be like in the booth with like Mike Joy and Darryl Waltrip and them. He's going to be part of the pre-race show. I don't know. I think it's a great move, just because Jamie McMurray never says anything bad about anybody, so he'll be perfect for TV.
That's the thing. I think he might be too boring.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That's my only concern. I want somebody like Tony Stewart up there talking.
Exactly. Because
he would talk shit about people and like make it interesting. I would rather, because
you know, one of my favorite sports shows is, you know, Inside the NBA with Shaq, yep, Charles Barkley, yep, and all them. And why it's funny is because they make fun of everybody.
Right.
They're so mean to people.
Because you have Shaq and Charles Barkley, who I think really do hate each other. Like, at a certain point, I'm like, some sort of animosity. I think they might love and hate each other at the same time in real life, not just on the show.
Yeah.
And with a person like Jamie McMurray, it's kind of like getting, you know, Chase Elliott up there. Like, that would be boring as hell.
He's not going to say anything controversial ever. Like, even Jeff Gordon will occasionally say something that you're like, ooh, a little edgy there.
Right.
You know?
And that's Jeff Gordon. You know,
Dale Jr. will say something a little.
Dale Jr. is funny. He's got the personality. He's got the charisma.
Exactly. Jamie McMurray is going to be very plain.
That's what I'm worried about.
But, I mean, that's why he's only doing the pre-race show. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Who have they had doing that lately? Michael Waltrip?
That's true.
And Chris Myers? I mean,
Michael Waltrip, I'm not going to lie, cracks me up. and probably not for the reasons he wants me to laugh, but I think that dude's funny as hell just because he's a weirdo.
he embraces it.
Yeah, and it kind of makes me laugh. So, to be fair, he actually cracks me up a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that's interesting news because he got offered the team leadership position.
Yeah.
Which I'm not surprised he declined it. Who was it in IndyCar that took that position?
Like an administrator or like an advisory role?
I don't keep up with IndyCar enough.
I haven't kept up with IndyCar, I wouldn't know.
But it was in Chip Ganassi Racing team for Indy. And so some great IndyCar driver that they were kind of forcing out because they wanted to replace with, I'm sure, everybody knows who he is now, and I just can't name him because I don't keep up with Indy.
IndyCar news is going all over my head right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Anyway, he accepted a team leadership position in IndyCar, and I think that was their plan with Jamie McMurray. Was like, we want you to stay around because you're, you know, a vet. But, I mean, good for him to just be like, nah, I know when it's my time. I'm just going to go into the booth like I'm supposed to, and then I'll die. But my question is,
in the booth.
My question is, like, what are they going to do when all these drivers retire? Because
they can't all go to TV.
They all have to be on TV because that's their life.
Well, that was the other news that came out today. Dale Jr. is going to drive the pace car, the pace truck for the Daytona 500. And I'm like, of course, Dale Jr., he's retired, but he's probably working just as hard as he did as he was
driving. I think he might be working more.
He might be.
He's out there promoting his book.
Like, yeah, he's got a book. Shoot, he's got a book. He's got that podcast. Dude, he has a whole network
I want to buy his book.
Yeah, I do too. Honestly, I'm surprised
I've become more of a fan of his since he's retired. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm more that way with Jeff Gordon. I didn't like Jeff Gordon that much as a driver.
Okay.
A lot of people didn't like when I said that, but I didn't like
Jeff Gordon. No, I understand that. Yeah.
After racing, and I kind of feel the same way about Tony Stewart, is they both just know a lot about the sport.
I 120% agree with you on Tony Stewart.
Tony Stewart more so probably even than Jeff Gordon. I should have gone to him first because I didn't like him as a driver either. But
I did not like Tony Stewart.
After racing, just everything he says, I'm like, thank you.
Tony Stewart was a dickhead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He still kind of is. Even
he was worse than Kyle Busch.
Oh, yeah. No.
And like, I just do not like Tony Stewart. And then he becomes a team owner, and you hear what he has to say about stuff, and you're like, wow. What was it with Kurt Busch after he got wrecked?
Yeah, he does a good job of
And he went over there
drivers.
And talked to him, and like, I was like, is this Tony Stewart? Who is that guy? That's like a mentor in NASCAR. Like, he's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't.
Tony Stewart a role model? What is right? What is happening?
He killed a guy.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they're gonna do with people. I mean, Kurt Busch can't be driving for much more. What's he got? He has the one season.
He's on a 1 year contract. A lot of people think Ross Chastain will take over that car in a year because they gave Chastain an Xfinity, the top Xfinity car at Chip Ganassi, because he did so well in the Cup races last year. So they Kurt Busch. I don't want to say it, but Kurt Busch might be gone in a year.
So, yeah, I mean, I agree. He has to be gone soon. He's now he has to be the oldest active driver.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure
he's
he is.
He's like 40 or 41. I think Harvick's older.
I don't think he is.
Oh, Harvick. I'm pretty sure Harvick's older. I know Jimmy Johnson's older.
We're gonna look this up. I'm pretty sure.
I think Kurt Busch is like third.
Oh man, I hope I beat you at something in NASCAR because that would feel really smart if I did.
I know for a fact Jimmy Johnson's older than him, so we can just take that to the bank. Jimmy Johnson's 43.
All right, Kurt Busch is 40.
Okay,
Kevin Harvick's probably like 38.
I bet he's 41.
God,
he's 43. Shoot, Harvick's the same age as Jimmy Johnson.
Damn,
I did not know that. He's older than I thought.
My own podcast. Get out of here.
I'm so sorry.
Right.
Busch is old. I mean, he's older than McMurray, and McMurray's retired now.
Right. So. Kurt Busch is old. The thing about Kurt Busch is he is still a really good driver.
So was Matt Kenseth, and they kicked him out.
That's true. That's okay. So, but do you think Matt Kenseth kind of wanted to leave? I know you're a fan, but.
Leave Joe Gibbs Racing? No, I don't think he did.
Okay.
I think he wanted to stay there for. I think he wanted to stay there for two more years.
Yeah.
I think that's what he would have wanted.
I don't know. Yeah, I agree. Kurt Busch has to be gone soon. He's got the 1 year deal,
and he's had sponsorship troubles. Monster Energy is the only sponsor he's gotten. They're not even doing a full schedule next year. They're doing like half
his
races, maybe even less than half.
Oh, I didn't see that. I just saw that they were sticking with him with the.
Yeah, but they only sponsored like. They only primary sponsored like a third of his races this year. They're on the car for all the races, like in the quarter panel somewhere. But like,
yeah, that's true. That's like, true.
A lot of Kurt Busch's races with Stuart Haas were unsponsored, which is why I think they kicked him out.
And it was literally just Stuart Haas car.
It was just
Haas
on the car. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I think they kicked him out. And
that's true. Too bad for Kurt Busch.
I mean, it's unfortunate. Yeah, because
he is a really good driver.
He is really good. And
people forget.
I'm excited to see what he does in the one next year. I think he'll be great. I'm excited because I think he'll be great for Kyle Larson. Because I also like Kyle Larson a lot. I think he's going to be...
Nobody can not like Kyle Larson.
Yeah, I feel like nobody dislikes
Kyle
Larson.
That's the thing.
Larson,
you say, like, I like Kyle Larson, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, I kind of like him as well.
Yeah.
He's a driver that nobody can not at least kind of like, because he just seems so likable, and he's actually a good driver.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think you're right. He will make a really good mentor. I mean, people forget he's got 30 Cup Series wins.
30, really? Is it that many?
30.
I would have thought like 20 or 22. Oh,
30. Dude's got 30 wins.
I mean, he's raced for
a He's a championship.
He's got that championship.
I mean, the guy really has. And I know his younger brother, Kyle, kind of like overshadows him, which is ironic because it's his younger brother.
That's unfortunate.
He's a good driver. And I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe he will be gone after 1 year.
He might not. He could stick around. I just, I don't know. The stars are aligning so well.
Right. Yeah. It's. I feel like with an older driver like that, it's completely team by team. It's like, what's the team gonna do? Are they gonna go with the younger route, or mm-hmm. you know, if he was with a different team, maybe he'd stay three more years. You know,
exactly. It's,
Daniel Suarez, I guess from here we're in silly season.
Let's just go down
the list.
Oh yeah.
Daniel Suarez still rideless.
Technically, right? Every report that I've seen says he's going to Stuart Haas Racing, but I've been looking at the same reports now for 4 months.
As long as I've heard about Kurt.
Yeah.
They coincided together.
Yeah.
They were like, this is what is going to happen.
But at first it was like, it's going to be Suarez. I've heard literally no other names. The only other name people thought was, oh, what about Cole Custer going to the 41 because he's in Stuart Haas's Xfinity program.
Right.
And then immediately Gene Haas said, oh no, he's not going to the Cup Series next year. We're going to keep him in the Xfinity Series. So I was like, okay, scratch that off the list.
And that was interesting. Did you think that he deserved a ride?
I don't think he's ready.
No.
But I don't really think Eric Jones was 100% ready. I don't really think William Byron was 100% ready. So by today's standards, he's probably ready.
Right.
But another year is fine. But yeah, so everything seems to point towards Suarez going to the 41 car. But they also talked earlier this week. I saw a tweet from, I think it was from Adam Stern, who works for a sports business.
Right. Day. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
always breaking news out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he's great.
And he mentioned that Stuart Haas Racing is planning to make the announcement in January, which is, we're talking a month away, perhaps. We could be within, 3-4 weeks of the season starting before they finally announce who's going to the 40. That's what makes me concerned.
Wouldn't that be problems with ads?
I don't know. What originally, I believe, was the issue was Aris, who sponsored Suarez when he came to the Cup
Series. Right.
They might still be locked into a deal with Joe Gibbs Racing, and so they have to decide whether or not they want to also go and sponsor additional races with Suarez wherever he goes.
There's no way they do that.
And it's an issue of, do they want to spend the money? Do they not? They might be able to get out of the JGR deal, and then they'll be freed up to go sponsor him somewhere
right.
else. Which is, I think, what they've been trying to do, which is probably why it's been slowed down.
Oh.
It's taken so long. It's because they've been having to negotiate.
That's not a bad thought, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of just making this up on the fly.
Because why else would they be waiting so long? It doesn't make sense. I think sponsorship could actually have something to do with it.
Because
they were his season-long sponsor, right?
Yeah, for most of the season. I don't know, they probably weren't on every... No, they weren't on every race, but like...
Oh, Stanley.
Stanley was big,
also, yeah.
But it was mainly those two were the two big sponsors from last year.
Yeah, his ugly orange car.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of it. I don't know if you were, but...
It is what it is.
It's boring as hell.
Yeah. I, the best orange cars, the Home Depot orange worked.
Yep.
But there's... I don't know. Yeah.
Oranges, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. Do you think he deserves a ride?
That's the big question. That's the controversy.
So that's the thing. Like, I feel like everyone talks about, he's definitely getting this Stuart Haas Racing ride. Where's he going to go? But at the same time, it's like, let's stop and think. Like, does he deserve it?
Yeah.
What has he done?
That's a real question. That's a fair point. Does he deserve the 41 car? No, not from... I'd say
right.
the 41 car is maybe the fifth or sixth best car in the entire series. Daniel Suarez has not earned that ride. I think Suarez still deserves to be with a competitive Cup Series team. I think, he spent 2 years with Gibbs, didn't run that well, didn't make the playoffs either year. But I think people forget... When he joined the team, February of 2017, a month and a half into the season, Dave Rogers, who was the crew chief on that team and had been the crew chief with Carl Edwards before, left out of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
So they paired it. So then they brought a rookie crew chief up to work with a rookie driver. And I feel like from that point, they really weren't set up for success.
Okay.
At that point, they were the fourth best team at Gibbs, and that's kind of how he ran. That being said, he should have made the playoffs at least one of these last 2 years. They let 16 drivers in. I don't think Daniel Suarez is a future NASCAR Cup Series champion.
I don't either.
I think he's a guy who can make the playoffs on a fairly regular basis, or at least be in contention, like 10th to 15th, maybe most years, most weeks. But I don't see him being a champion. So does he deserve to go to a champion competitive car like the 41? Probably not. He should have gone to the one car. That would have been perfect.
Yeah, actually.
Going to the one car matched driver skill with car skill.
That's a good point.
Pretty well.
That would have worked a million times better.
Yeah.
It just seems weird. I feel like he's always mentioned. It's almost like he's overhyped for whatever reason.
It's because he's the only Mexican guy in NASCAR.
Honestly,
right now.
I think that's probably it.
That's huge. I've seen people.
Because they're trying to break into that market.
Yep. And that market's huge. And any Mexican fan who turns on NASCAR race and sees Daniel Suarez is immediately going to root for him.
Absolutely.
That's just, he's going to be your guy.
Yeah.
90% of them.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. And there are motorsport fans in Mexico.
Yeah.
And they don't have, they have F1 track there, right?
Yeah. They go to Mexico City, I think, for F1.
Yeah. So yeah. I guess they have F1. But either way, I think you're right. Maybe he deserves a car just for that reason.
I'm excited for him if he gets the 41 because I want to see him I want to see him get two more years in good equipment.
It's do or die for him.
And if he doesn't make the playoffs, he needs to make the playoffs. He needs to make the playoffs next year. He needs to make the playoffs.
That's
a question some people have been asking me, and I think this is a good debate. Since it seems likely Suarez will go to the 41 and Kurt Busch, we already know, is going to the one car.
Right.
Who wins first?
Oh!
Suarez or Kurt Busch?
Kurt Busch, hands down.
I'm
going Kurt Busch, hands down. I think Kurt Busch is still a great driver.
Oh, Kurt Busch is a better driver for sure, but is the 41 car that much better than the one? I think Kurt Busch probably would win first because of the aero package next year. It's going to kind of equalize the field a little bit.
Yep.
I think that car that's not as good, you know, since he's going to be not as good of a car, I think that's going to equalize.
Well, I was going to argue that, yes, the 41 is that much better than one, but Kurt Busch is that much better of a driver, in my opinion.
That's true, yeah.
That he would still be
accurate.
I mean, I don't know. I don't understand the hype around Daniel Suarez. I haven't understood it, but hopefully he proves me wrong. I don't not like him.
Mm-mm,
he seems like a likable guy. You know, there's nothing against him. So, I don't know. Maybe he proves me wrong. And then another huge one, obviously, was Martin Truex Jr.
Yeah, completing the circle here of these guys. Yeah, Truex is taking Suarez's old ride in the 19 car.
Are you, before we go any further, I need to know where you stand. Yeah. Are you a Joe Gibbs fan?
Yes.
Okay.
Mostly. I mean, they did hire my favorite driver and gave him probably the five best consistent years of his career.
Okay, that's true.
But then they kicked him out for another young guy, who I like. I like Eric Jones. I think he deserved a cup ride, but... You know,
that's the thing. That's how I feel about Joe Gibbs. Is like, I like Eric Jones a lot, and I think he'll be a really good driver in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they have drivers that I don't hate, but I hate what they did to Furniture Row.
Yes, see, that's a fair criticism.
So. I hate that so much. That's like, you know, David and Goliath, and like Goliath winning,
and
like
Goliath cheats to win,
but
kind of under the table, kind of backhanded way wins.
Like, you know? Yeah, like poisons David's food before the match, and then
like
some gladiator type shit.
That's a good way to put it. A good analogy there.
There you go. So I just wanted to point that out first with the Martin Truex Jr. thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate Martin Truex Jr. in any way. I don't know anybody that would, honestly. He doesn't do anything for you to hate him for.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, he's kind of boring because he isn't controversial.
I like the Martinsville incident. That helped him with his personality when he got
into
Pagano.
That's true. It helped a little bit.
I think most people liked him. I wasn't sure because after the race, it feels like a lot of people really were mad at Truex or were in favor of Logano for that. And then I remember going to the race next week and the boos for Logano were very rampant.
It's always
good. I was like, oh, thank God there's still sanity in this room. People don't hate Truex.
No, it's nice every once in a while, and, you know, when he got turned, he said he was going to, you know, he'll get him back and everything like that. But
he never did.
Thank you. And I wrote a blog about that, and I even said he's not going to do it. He's too nice. He's too clean. It's not going to happen. He can, you know, I'm glad that he's finally, like, he talks a big game a little bit, not like Harvick. But at least he showed some emotion and was like, you know, I'm aware that this guy just turned me and it was fucked up, and I hope to get him back.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to. He's too clean.
Yeah. And I think that's going to attract... Some fans are going to like that. Like, I like clean drivers.
Right.
But the problem with NASCAR right now is I feel like everybody's...
I'm an Austin Dillon fan. I don't want clean
drivers. most all these young guys have kind of built themselves as clean drivers.
That's the problem.
Like, Logano's one of the only ones right now where I feel like, he's proven he's going to bump you. Like, I don't want to call him dirty, but he's going to knock you out of the way if he needs
to. And the thing is, I don't like Joey Logano, but I like that he's there.
Yeah,
because it makes it interesting. I need that heel.
Same with, like, Kyle Busch. Like, I'm not personally a big fan of him, but I love that he's there because he's a hero to some and a villain to many
exactly.
more.
Exactly.
That's good.
I really, and more so than Logano, like you said, I'm not a fan of Kyle Busch's, but I really, really, really appreciate him being in the sport.
Yeah.
He does so much for the sport for being who he is.
Yeah.
And my thing with Truex Jr. is he's the opposite of that.
Yeah.
You know, there's not much to him, but he is a great driver.
Yeah.
You know, there's no getting around that. Guy's an awesome driver. And with him at Joe Gibbs Racing, they're the best team.
I'd say, well, this last year I think Stuart Haas was the best team. But with them getting rid of Kurt Busch and Joe Gibbs bringing in Truex, I think Joe Gibbs will be better next year.
That's it. Like, they really, I mean, they have Martin Truex Jr. now? That is huge.
Yeah, what I'll be interested to see is they also brought Cole Pern over. So it's going to be driver crew chief switching from the 78, both going to be in the 19. And I just talked about with, you know, what was his name? I think it was not Chris Gale. Gabe Hart? Oh, jeez, what was his name? No, Scott Graves. Scott Graves, I believe, was the crew chief for Suarez. I don't remember who it was. Anyway, Bringing in now a veteran champion crew chief with the champion driver, I think that 19 car is going to be as good as it was with Carl Edwards again when he almost won the championship. So, yeah. No, I think Joe Gibbs Racing, they're going to make a resurgence next year. They'll be back to... I feel like for...
I'm worried that they're going to run the field
next year. I don't know. I don't know if I'd go that far.
Right.
Although, there is reason to be concerned because Ford, Stewart Haas Racing, was the best team this last year. But
yeah.
They're switching to the Mustang. And we saw how Chevy switched to the Camaro and it screwed them up for the whole first half of the season. Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer, Penske even, they might struggle out the gates. And if that happens with Chevy looking how lost they did this season, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, they're all going to win five races easy.
And this could just be biased optimism, but I think actually Chevy is going to do better this year because I think they've learned from their mistakes last year, whereas I think you're right. I think Ford will have some problems with that transition. I think Ford and Chevy will flip a little bit with Toyota kind of being above.
I think Toyota will be just fine. They'll be as good as ever. I do think, you're right, Chevy's going to be better than they were last year.
You can't get any worse.
Exactly, yeah.
Chase Elliott, thank God.
Yeah, the end of the season, Chase Elliott started finally winning races.
Before that, Austin Dillon was the only Chevy win at Daytona.
Yeah.
Think about that.
That was crazy. And even Austin Dillon started to run better towards the end of the
season. That's true.
They started to put together real runs. Yep. Alex Bowman made it to the round of 12, which I still think was impressive. Where that 88 car, how far had fallen the last couple
Seriously.
Years.
I thought it was a lost cause.
I was like, I don't know, he's stepping into a job that nobody wants, but he made the most of it.
Yeah.
They started to turn things around last year. I'm, kind of off topic, but the driver I most highly anticipate next year is Kyle Larson. Because he won four races in 2017.
He's been talking about it a lot lately, actually. I've heard a few people bring it up.
Four wins that year. He goes out last year and didn't win anything.
Yep.
It was never a factor for the championship.
Yep.
And I feel like he's a guy that a lot of people like. He's driving for a four-star team. Not a five-star team, but I'd say a four-star team.
Yeah.
Every time I hear veteran drivers talk about Kyle Larson, they have nothing but good things to say about him.
Well, it's interesting, too, because last year, that everybody was talking about Kyle Larson, the year, but it was just this season that he didn't do well. And I feel like people kind of just stopped talking about him, because he wasn't doing well. That's fair. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you can't forget, the guy's still there. He's young. He's a great driver.
I think he's the most talented driver under the age of 26 or however. He is better than Eric Jones.
He probably is, yeah.
I think he's a better driver than Chase Elliott.
I was just going to bring up Chase Elliott, actually. That's the only other one I would have.
Elliott's second, but Elliott's in better equipment. So he's got...
That's true.
He had three wins last year, but he didn't have any the 2 years before.
Yeah.
So I think Kyle Larson's... I just feel like he's... If he was in... People say this all the time, but if he was in Joe Gibbs' equipment, he would be instant favorite for the championship. He'd be up there with Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick, but he'd be part of that group. Right now, he's a notch or two below that.
He'd be in the championship four.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And so I don't expect Ganassi to make that big of a gain, but that's why I said earlier I'm excited for Kurt Busch to be over there because I think he can help that team. I mean, we've seen a lot of people, NASCAR is... They bill it like the drivers matter the most, but we all know if you're only as good as your car.
Yeah.
But I do think drivers do matter. We just don't see it as well. Joe Gibbs Racing had a bunch of guys going to the Final Four in 2015 and 2016 when they had Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Matt Kenseth, and Carl Edwards. Those are four, probably all Hall of Famers.
They will be all of
Famers. And they were great for 2 years. The moment they got rid of Edwards, 2017, Truex outshone. He was a better Toyota than them. Joe Gibbs Racing was not as good of a Toyota team as Furniture Row Racing. They get rid of Kenseth this last year, and they only had one car make it out of the first round of the playoffs. One guy made it out of the first round of the playoffs. And then you saw last year, Stewart Haas Racing replaced Danica with Almirola. They were the best team in NASCAR.
Yeah.
So you bring in veterans who know what they're doing, and it can make teams better. Put Matt Kenseth back in that six car. He had two top tens at the end of the season last year. I'm just saying, drivers do matter, and that's when we see it the most. So bringing Kurt Busch, not saying McMurray's bad, but Kurt Busch is better. Bringing Kurt Busch into that one car, I hope vaults that both him and the 42 just makes them better. That's what I hope for. That's what I'm most excited for next year.
So Kyle Larson.
Larson, yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that. What about AJ Allmendinger?
As far as the season, I saw a report also recently. I think he's done in NASCAR, but I heard I think he's joined a team for the Rolex 24 at Daytona.
Really?
Yeah. Who was it? I think it was an IndyCar driver, somebody else. There was a couple guys I didn't know who they were, and then there was another driver that I did know who he was, but I don't remember I don't remember what his name was. But I think he's going to be on a Rolex 24 team, but as far as I know, he's not going to be in NASCAR. Ryan Preece has taken his ride.
Yep. Yeah, what do you think of that?
Is
he ready?
No. But he's not going to a very good car. I think it's good for him in the sense that he's not going to have a lot of competition in that 47. It's not like... Like, I feel bad for Suarez. When he came to the 19 car, he wasn't ready, and immediately he gets there, and he's had, like, Christopher Bell, you know, Jones, sort of. You know, he's had other drivers, like, hot on his heels that you know want that car.
Yep.
Like, Ryan Preece, he was in that system. He was one of those guys that was putting pressure on Daniel Suarez and Eric Jones. Now he's going to a team that doesn't really have any obvious drivers ready to take that spot from him. So I think he's going to just be able to run 20th. It's kind of like what Ty Dillon's doing in the 13 car. He's just running 30th every week.
Right.
Nobody's really...
People forget about him.
But nobody's really, like, criticizing him because it's like, yeah, what do you do?
He never gets mentioned in that. Yeah, nobody's going to take his ride. So,
Ryan Preece, I've heard a lot of good things. A lot of people really think he's good, like, really good. So maybe
I've heard people say that a lot. And I'm like, maybe I'm missing something?
I mean, he's won some Xfinity races and he hasn't really been racing full time. So that is impressive. But I don't know that he's a superstar. I think he'll run 20th, 25th every week.
I was just going back and looking up stats and stuff like that, so it's not the same when you're reading, you know, a stat sheet compared to when you're actually paying attention to that driver watching every race. But just reading the stat sheet, I was like, I don't know what people are looking at. I don't know. Maybe good, they're watching something I'm not seeing. Trevor Bayne, poor guy.
Yeah.
You remember him?
Probably the nicest guy in the world.
And you remember him when he was, like, coming into it? And he won Daytona.
He wins the Daytona.
And when it's hyped up immediately,
yeah,
people just talking about him nonstop, and now he has just fallen out of NASCAR.
Yeah, I think, you know, he was never outstanding. Obviously, Daytona, I think, was both the best and the worst things for his career. Best,
exactly.
He wins the race, makes a lot of money, gets a lot of hype, gets a lot of fame and fortune, gets, you know, all that. But I think it also put unfair expectations on him. I don't think he was ever that good. Like, he was never as good as his 2011 victory. And you know, he also unfortunately came over to Roush in 2015, right when they really died. Like, 2015 was the start of the end of Roush.
I feel like
really the end of Roush.
I feel like they were really putting a lot of eggs into the Trevor Bayne basket too, hoping that he was going to be something great.
Honestly, if I could go back to 2015, I'd wonder what they saw in him, because he was with the Wood Brothers and really wasn't doing much in the 21 car. And then I feel like maybe because he had. Just maybe they looked at it as a short-term game. He had some sponsorship money because of the Daytona win.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe sponsorship. My whole thing is, like, when are people just going to finally realize that a Daytona win doesn't really mean much?
Yeah, I feel like...
It doesn't.
I feel like a lot of people in NASCAR put the Daytona 500 wins a little... They weigh them a little too heavily.
I don't understand that.
Like, I get, like, the big deal, like, when Dale Sr. finally won the Daytona 500. Right. I can understand it for that reason, but at the end of the day, it was just another restrictor. Like, he won dozens of restrictor plate races. Like, why did we care about that one?
I get the nostalgia and, like, hyping up the race itself, but any driver can win Daytona. And I get that's part of, like, what's fun about it.
Yeah.
But that also means don't get too hyped when some young driver wins Daytona. Yeah. I mean, Bubba Wallace got second.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. Austin Dillon won it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Austin Dillon's had more than one win, but
Austin Dillon's okay, but he's not going to go win. That doesn't mean he's going to win on, like,
It's a great way for me to start my season, but I'm not, like, looking at that season going, "Oh, how much more wins is he going to get?" I'm thinking it's Austin Dillon, that's probably his one win of the season, maybe one more.
I don't know.
Bubba Wallace got second. Yeah, Let's think about this.
He basically never saw. I mean, he led some laps at Bristol, but beside that random occurrence, he was non-existent for 34
Random
races.
Random side question, and it's just something I think only I'm concerned about. Is he maybe the next Danica Patrick?
Who, Trevor Bayne or Bubba Wallace?
Bubba Wallace.
It's
his first season, so I'll give him some slack. But watching him race, which I did a lot... No,
I don't think he's the next Danica Patrick. But that doesn't mean to say I think their careers could end up similarly. He's going to get a lot of hype because he's currently the only African American.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying, like, I think he's probably a better driver than her already.
Yeah, I think, but the problem is his results are going to be the same because Danica Patrick was on a great team running 25th. Bubba Wallace is on a bad team running 25th.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think people will give him a pass. Like, hardcore fans of NASCAR will give him a small pass for that.
Because they know he's the only driver on a small team.
Yeah, because they know he doesn't have much to work with. If he was doing what Danica did, you know, at Gibbs.
Yeah.
You know, then
people would
have a problem.
I think would already start to question it.
Yeah.
By the way, good for him for, you know, driving with Richard Petty. I think it's so cool.
That's
like, I really want him to do
that.
Well.
If that team does well, it would be just so great. Oh my gosh.
Like, I would love that.
It'd be like when Tiger Woods started dominating golf in one way, but it would also feel like the Karate Kid.
I think every NASCAR fan would love it.
Oh, everybody.
Every person I've talked to, It's just like, yeah, I really like Bubba.
ESPN,
I really like Richard Petty.
ESPN would probably actually talk about NASCAR again if Richard Petty and Bubba Wallace started winning races.
I don't know if I want them to talk about that.
But I'm saying
they've already lost my favor. Yeah. Ryan Newman, we'll run through the rest of these because we're running short on time. Oh, Ryan Newman leaving RCR, about time. You know, yeah. RCR needs to kind of move on. And
there was an interesting, I encourage anyone listening to this to go, I think it was the Phoenix, like the second to last race of the season. You know, the Fox does the NASCAR Radioactive on YouTube. At the end of that video, Ryan Newman and his crew chief go like back and forth. They put it in the video and it was like nasty. Like Newman was basically saying like, this car sucks. Like you all suck basically. And the crew chief was like, hey, like we don't need that type of attitude here. So it really sounds like things were just bad at RCR between Newman and the people working around him.
To be fair.
And he needed a fresh change, you know?
To be fair, I think RCR does need to fix a lot of their problems.
Oh, RCR's not that good. And I think Newman, you know, he drove for Penske when he first got NASCAR. He's driven for good teams. He knows what it takes to be good.
Even when I'm at races and, you know, I'll be listening on my scanner to Austin's, even he's just like, look, man, like, the crew chief will be telling him to just do something. And he's like, look, I'm doing the best I can do with this fucking car you'll build me. And at a certain point, you're like, ah, he's kind of got a point.
He's got a point.
RCR needs to fix a lot of their shit.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Newman was wrong. Like, I listened to the altercation. I'm
but
like,
you're right.
But it just sounds like it was just a bad environment.
Yeah.
And I don't think the six is
he wasn't happy there.
No.
I really don't think he was happy there.
No.
I saw that for the past 2 years. He didn't seem happy there. I don't think he was happy with them. They, you know, RCR obviously puts a lot into Austin Dillon for obvious reasons.
Yeah, you got to deal. He probably was a little, he was getting second, playing second fiddle.
And
too
he's
much.
Like, I'm the vet here. I shouldn't be
doing
that. And so good for RCR to go with a new younger guy where they can finally give the main ride to Austin like they wanted the whole time. And good for Ryan Newman to find another team to try for. How long he'll be driving. Who knows?
Maybe a year or two with Roush. I don't know. I think
he's a pretty good driver. You know, he can still put up.
He can help that team. I don't think he'll. He won't run. He'll run somewhere between how Kenseth and Bain ran this year.
Yep.
That six.
Yeah, I don't think he's not going to be competing for a championship
or anything really. But
he'll be getting some top tens here and there, and top five maybe. His replacement. Speaking of Daniel Hemric.
Yeah.
New guy coming into RCR. He was racing in the Xfinity. My biggest thing I want to say about him is, number one, he seems like a pretty good driver. I'm optimistic, obviously, as a fan, and I like the fact that he's known Austin for a long time, so I'm hoping that works out. My biggest takeaway is just drop the 31 and bring the 8 back.
Have they confirmed what number he's driving next year? Because there were rumors that he's going to run the 8. I guess they haven't confirmed
it. It's been rumored, and they asked Richard Childress, and he said it's not like out of possibility.
I agree. I think it'd be cool if they brought the
Why
8 back.
Why not? You have the 3. Bring back the just do what the fans want. Yeah. Look, RCR, like you're losing fans left and right. Daniel Hemric isn't a name anybody's coming out for to buy shirts for, but you know what they'll buy shirts for? The number 8.
That's true. That I'd feel like it would be genius for them to bring him back as the 8 car.
You're selling merch just based on running the 3. Just figure it out. Like nobody cares about the 31. Bring back the 8.
Yeah.
Casey Kane.
He's done. He's announced his retirement.
He's done, but he is gonna be. He's driving. He's doing something else.
He's got a World of Outlaws dirt racing team.
That's right. He has a team. And he's gonna drive.
He's
for
gonna
his
drive.
Team, right?
I don't know if he's gonna drive every. I don't think he's gonna drive every race, but he'll drive some races.
Why would he? You know, he's retired. If I was him, I'd be like, "Hey, I'm bored. I'm coming in this week."
Yeah,
like that's badass.
Step aside.
Him and every other like old school NASCAR driver doing the World of Outlaws now.
That'd be fun.
They're loving it. Yeah. I'd love to go to a race. There's so many old NASCAR drivers doing that now.
They have do you know there's that dirt track? It's like an hour away. It's
the
towards
Cotton
Houston.
Bowl?
Yeah, the Cotton Bowl. I've never been out there.
I've always passed by it. No.
They do World Outlaws races. They're going to be
there
in February. Yeah.
All right.
I was looking at the World Outlaws schedule. I'm like,
maybe me and you can carpool.
Yeah,
we'll go to the
see
race.
Maybe Casey Kane's racing that. You never know.
That'd be so awesome.
I've always wanted to go to a World Outlaw race. And now that I know they're nearby.
I know where that track is. It's right off 290 on your way to Houston. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we got?
Matt DiBenedetto's taking his ride in the 95, which I'm excited for because they're switching that 95 car to Toyota. It's going to be the new Furniture Row. It's affiliated with Jacobs Racing.
That's right. I read about that. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to be like as good as Truex was, not right off the bat.
No.
But, you know, 2 or 3 years they could be. And I think next year they'll be a team that I don't think they're going to win any races, but they could be a playoff contender. They'll be around 20th in points, maybe higher. We'll see.
That would be really interesting
Everyone seems to think DiBenedetto's great. Like, he's just been held back by his equipment all these years. I don't know. I don't know about that.
He's got a lot of fans. It blows my mind. I don't know where they came from or...
Because he's just goofy.
Yeah, it's kind of my same thing with Daniel Suarez. I just don't understand where those fans are coming from. We already talked about Jamie McMurray.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
McMurray we covered that one. And then the last one is Matt Tift.
Matt Tift. Oh, gosh. I forgot. Oh, he's going to Front Row Motorsports. He's going to drive the 36 car with teammates to... who's over there still? Michael McDowell and David Reagan. He's going to be part of that group.
Yep.
Which... they bought that charter from, who'd they get that charter? Oh, BK Racing, when BK Racing went under.
Oh, okay.
They were able to pick up some of the assets. That's why they're able to afford a third team. But yeah, he's going to race there. He's going to be a non-factor.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, he was not really going anywhere in the JGR Xfinity system, so he switched to RCR. He wasn't really going anywhere in RCR. Hemric was better. So it sounds like he just took the cup ride when it was given to him. You know, he's not going to win races.
I don't know anything about Matt Tift.
Yeah,
that one kind of came out of nowhere when they announced that.
He was the one, like, he drove the 19 for a year. He came back from, like, he had brain surgery at one point.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, this was just a couple of years ago. And so he came back from that, which is really impressive. And so I can respect him a ton for that. Drove for Joe Gibbs Racing in the X-Men series, wasn't that good.
Kyle Busch's leg injury does not seem as impactful anymore after brain surgery.
Yeah, that's fair. he and what's his face? Brandon Jones switched rides at the beginning of this year, so he went over to RCR driving the 2. And I didn't really pay attention that close this year. I don't think he was really that good. He was okay. So I think it sounds like he got an opportunity to go to the Cup Series, and he knew he wasn't gonna go to, like, RCR wanted Hemric, Joe Gibbs Racing wants Christopher Bell or whoever. So yeah, I can't fault him. I think for him it's a smart business decision. I don't think he was ever going to be a championship driver.
No.
So just make your money for a few years.
Yeah, exactly. Move up when you have the chance. Yeah. You know, at least you've proven to other teams I have this experience.
See where it goes
in the Cup Series.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
All right.
Yeah, that's a lot of good silly season news.
That is a lot.
That is so much.
This silly season's been off the charts.
Like, if you're just a casual NASCAR fan listening to this, I think we've pretty much prepared you for 2019.
Oh, yeah, you're ready. Like,
you can go into Daytona. You know all the storylines now.
I just interviewed for a job, and the director of marketing at the company wrote down the podcast that he might listen. Shannon, if you are listening... Your father-in-law, your future father-in-law, just talk about this, and he won't even know what the fuck you're talking about. Trust me, this is everything you need to know. All right, I think that's it. Like I said, everybody go check out the YouTube channel. You want to give yourself one last little plug?
Yeah, it's been really fun. Thanks for having me on the show. You can find me on YouTube, Eric Estep, or just search up the show, Out of the Groove. I talk about NASCAR multiple times a week over there, and do other videos, mostly racing related. So if you're interested, if you're a big race fan, big NASCAR fan, definitely come check it out. Have a lot of fun over there. It's a good time.
Yeah, and once again, his YouTube channel really is awesome. It's the whole reason I found him and we were able to do this, because I watch a lot of random waste of time YouTube channels. Shannon, if you're listening, I don't do it at work, I promise. But yeah, he has a great channel. I highly recommend checking it out. Hopefully when the season starts, I'll come on his channel.
Yeah.
We'll do some pouncing off. Now apparently we're going to a dirt track together.
Yeah.
So don't worry, this is not the end of this. Hope everybody enjoyed this episode though. Peace out.
Second, you can be third, fourth, hell, you can even be fifth.